Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have assembled here today in thy name, the name which your Son inherited by being a son, and that name which we also inherit by being sons, and acknowledging our relationship with you, Father, and with your Son, Jesus Christ, our older brother, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning, knowing that your words are spirit in their life, and that you came down to this hour to show us, Lord, who you are and why you're here, and to develop within us the character and the nature that lays within your life, because you've given us your life. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us to step aside from our own flesh, for your prophet said the greatest gift is to get ourselves out of the way. And knowing these things, Father, we humbly surrender our vessels to thee, that you might use us in whatever capacity that you deem fit. Help us to be as your son, to speak not unless you speak through us, to act not unless they're your actions, to hold not to our own will, but simply surrendering our will to thy will, and to have no other doctrine but the doctrine which you have given us, which is the doctrine of Christ. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And in these, Lord, we commit ourselves to thy great Godhood and God life, coming through and up and into each of us as sons and daughters in your image, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I would like to address the thought of God, of going beyond the doctrine of Christ. Now you might be thinking, why would anyone think of going beyond the doctrine of Christ? Especially after what St. John said about it. He said in 2 John 1 verse 9, whosoever transgresseth, and the word transgress means to go beyond the limits. Therefore, whosoever would go beyond the limits and abide not in the doctrine of Christ, and that means that you do not remain within the limits of the doctrine of Christ. He says, they have not God. They hath not God. And the word hath, as you know from our studies, is translated from the Greek word echo. So what John is saying is that if you go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ and you do not remain in the doctrine of Christ, you cannot echo God. In other words, you cannot say what God said. Now, you might say the same words and you might even quote him word for word, but it will not come out the same way. That is not an echo, just to say the same thing. An echo means to place the same inflection, the same spirit behind what's being said. It echoes back in the same way. Then he adds, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath. He echoes both the Father and the Son. Now remember in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess also him before my Father which is in heaven. And in Luke 12 and verse 8, we also read the same thing. Also Jesus says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Now the word confess here was translated from the Greek word homologio, which is two Greek words combined, homo, which means the same, and logio, which means word. And these are combined together to make one Greek word, homologia, which means to say the same words or to say the same thing. So Jesus is saying, he that says the same thing about me to men, I will say the same thing to my Father about them. And Brother Branham said in many places, but I'll read from you just one from his sermon, God's Covenant with Abraham. He said, what is confess? He said, confess is to say the same thing. That's what a confession is. Confession is to say the same thing. And say the same thing that he said. You say what he said. Don't say what you're feeling or what your feelings say. Don't say what your neighbor says. But say what God said. Confess it. And then believe it. Now let's read how this promise of God given to us through his Son was put to the test in his day. In John 9 and verse 22, we read, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. So when they said, well, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? You know, or do you believe that this Jesus healed your son? They said, well, go ask him. He's of age. In other words, deflect it away, you know. And again in John 12 and verse 42, Jesus said, Nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest that they should be put out of the synagogue. So do you think that believing him in secret did those Pharisees any good? That is not what the promised word was for. That's not what he said. He didn't say, well, if you just believe me, that's it. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Then what is it then that you will say to men that he will say the same thing to his Father? Because he said, if you say the same words about me, I'll say the same words about you. So, what do you say before men? You say before men that Jesus is your brother. And Jesus will say to his Father, he is my brother. Now we're looking at this thought of what it means to go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ. And we've shown you that there are limits to the doctrine. You can't just say anything and stay within the limits. A lot of people say, well, I believe everything Brother Branham said. Well, Brother Branham said, that just means you can read. And it really doesn't mean you believe it, because if you don't understand it, how can you believe what you don't understand? You can't just say anything and stay within the limits. There are limits to the doctrine of Christ. And if you stay within those limits, if you do not stay within those limits, you do not have God. And neither do you have the Son of God. In 1 John 2 and verse 23, he says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Now here we see that to deny the Son is to say no to the Son. In other words, he's not the Son of God. And it means that you must also deny God being his Father. To say that Jesus was his own Father denies that the Father exists. And it denies that Jesus was his Son. Because what you're saying in essence is, number one, you're saying the prophet of God didn't know what he's saying. You're calling the prophet of God in this hour a liar. Because he said he's not his own Father. He can't be his own Father. In 1 John 2 and 23 again. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So we see here to deny the Son is to say that he is not the Son of God. Now that means that you must also deny that God was his Father. To say that Jesus was his own Father denies the Father and denies Jesus being a Son. And then he says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And what was that which you heard from the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? The Word was God. Therefore, to deny what God said denies both the Father and the Son and that relationship between God and his Son. In other words, you're denying the report that God had about his Son. How can God have a relationship with his Son if his Son is himself? Such foolishness being taught in the pulpits today. But to say that the same thing brings life, God's own life, into the believer. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're truth. And he says in verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Therefore, to deny is not saying the same thing, but is actually calling God, who said it to begin with, a liar. In 1 John 5 and verse 10, we read, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And again in 1 John 2 and verse 22 we read, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And we even find Jesus saying to those who did not believe his relationship with God as his Father, in John 8 and verse 55, he said, yet ye have not known him, but I have known him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. I keep his word. And then John says, you're of your father the devil. Jesus says in John, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of it. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, out from God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So that brings us to the place of saying the same thing that God said about his Son, having the same record that God said. In 1 John 10 and 5 and verse 10, he says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Therefore, God is on record concerning his relationship with his Son. When God took him up to the mountain and adopted him at Mount Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And God publicly adopted his Son and acknowledged him to the world up on that mountain. Now this morning we're speaking about what it means to go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ. John said in 2 John 1 and 9, he said, whosoever transgresses, which means to go beyond the limits, and abides not or remains not in the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have God. He hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Now I want you to notice that what he's telling us here. That whoever goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ, and notice he adds, and abides not, which means to remain not in that doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have God. He hath not God. So if he goes beyond the limits, and he does not remain in the doctrine of Christ, then he could never say what God says in the way that God said it. And it shows that you do not only do not have God, but you are incapable of echoing God. You are incapable of saying what God says. Then if we are not to go beyond the limits, if we are not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ or beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ, then why in the world did Paul say in Hebrews chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Why would Paul say, leaving the doctrine of Christ to go on to perfection? Because you're not reading it right. Is that what Paul said? Therefore, leaving the doctrine of Christ? Adam, what did he say there? You got your Bible? Hebrews 6. Verse 1. Go ahead and read verse 1 there.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection.
Okay. Did he say, leaving the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection? What did he say? The principles. You see, Paul didn't say, let us leave in the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. He said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. You see? But if you read the Bible carelessly, like most people read it, you would have read just that, that you leave the doctrine of Christ if you're going to go on to perfection. But that's not what he said. And then you would misinterpret the scripture, and the very benefit or blessings from God you would miss. The Apostle Paul did not say that we are to leave the doctrine of Christ in order to go on to perfection. He said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, we go on unto perfection. So you see, it is the principles first, and then going beyond those principles that brings us to perfection. Now, I know that you may not be following me right now, but because you may be saying in your mind, what could be beyond the doctrine of Christ? I mean, the Apostle John said in 2 John 1 and 9, whosoever transgresses or goes beyond the limits and doesn't stay in the limits of the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't even have God. Neither does he have his Son. Then he has, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. So what does it mean to go beyond the doctrine of Christ or the limits of the doctrine of Christ? And if you're paying attention to my words this morning, you'll notice that I never quoted the Apostle Paul as saying that we would go beyond the doctrine of Christ. But he said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Not leaving the doctrine, but leaving the principles of the doctrine. Now, the word principles was translated from the Greek word ark, which means the first part or the beginning part. So you see, Paul is not suggesting that we leave the doctrine of Christ in order to enter perfection, but rather he's telling us that we must not stay and dwell on the first part of the doctrine of Christ, but rather if we are to go unto perfection, we must go beyond that first part of the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is telling us that perfection does not end with coming to the doctrine of Christ, but it begins by entering into the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, without the doctrine of Christ, you can't go on to perfection. And if you just come up to the doctrine of Christ and you stop there, you will not go on unto perfection. Therefore, perfection lies in the doctrine of Christ. Not in the first part of just the who and what. The Apostle Paul is giving us a clue here that perfection lays within the boundaries of the doctrine of Christ, but to get there we must not stop when we come to the doctrine of Christ as though that we've arrived. But he's telling us that we must enter fully into the doctrine of Christ and not stop at the first understanding that we have concerning the doctrine of Christ. He is telling us that in order to reach perfection, we must go further into the doctrine than the mere principles of that doctrine, which is the first or basic part of that doctrine. He's telling us that the perfection lays within the limits of the doctrine of Christ, but you must go beyond the very first principles concerning the doctrine of Christ in order to go on unto perfection, or into perfection. So we must then ask ourselves, what does this mean? And what is the principles of the doctrine of Christ? What is the first part in understanding the doctrine of Christ? And we get our answer from a vindicated prophet in this hour. And that was William Branham. In his sermon, Hebrews 6, Brother Branham said, Therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. I like Paul saying those things. Paul never was a person that liked to stay too long in one place. He liked to move on deeper. Not staying with the principles, the first thoughts on it, but moving deeper into it. He goes on, he says, one time in the scripture he said, forgetting those things which are in the past, I press toward the mark of the high calling. You see, he keeps pressing on. Here he said, not forgetting the principles of the doctrine of Christ, who he was, what he was, but let's go on to perfection. Excuse me. And again in a sermon from Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, Brother Branham said, now notice, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To know what's right and what's wrong by discernment. Now notice, starting now on our lesson, this great background now, let's go on to the first verse. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, what's he saying? All these first five chapters have been laid on Christ to show who he is. Now we're leaving those principles of the doctrine of Christ. And what Paul said in Hebrews, notice in chapter 1, Paul tells us that the Son of God was made in the exact image of the Father. He tells us who the Son of God is. In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, he says, who being the brightness of His, the Father's glory, and the expressed image of His, the Father's person, and upholding all things by the word of His, the Father's power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty God on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He, God, at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. You see, we've been criticized by some that say that we teach a Jehovah Witness understanding of the Godhead. But if you go to the Jehovah Witness website and read what they believe, they go to Colossians and says Jesus was the first creation. But it doesn't say He was the first creation. He was the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn. He was not a created being. He was firstborn. The flesh was created, but that soul was birthed out from God. Your flesh was created, but your soul came forth from God. Your sons and daughters, you're not created beings. I'm no more a created being than you are a created being, than Jesus was a created being, than God's a created being. I've got eternal life. Where'd that life come from? One place. God. The whole Jehovah Witnesses don't have a clue. They don't understand incarnation, that God was in His Son. They don't understand that He was the Son of God. Oh, they say, yeah, He's the Son of God, but He was created. They don't understand birth. Birth means that same life that was in the original comes into the one who's birthed. Now in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells us that we had better not let so great an understanding as this slip from our grasp. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and of disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Then as the Apostle Paul moves from the birth of Christ and His relationship to the Father, he then begins to show us that we also have a relationship with God as our Father and with Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 we read in the middle of the chapter, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So we see then the ministry of Jesus, and we see how it ties with us as sons. Now what Paul is telling us here is that Jesus was crowned with glory and honor, and the glory is the doxa of God, which is the very opinion, assessment, and judgment of God. In other words, the very mind of God was in Christ. And he said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now notice the relationship between Jesus as a son and the fact that God has other children is mentioned in the very next verse. In verse 11, Hebrews 2 and verse 11, he says, for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are of one, out from one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Because we that are sanctified and the one who did the sanctifying are out from the same source, that's why he calls us brothers. We are brothers. I like that. Saying, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren, unto my brethren. And remember that Jesus came in his Father's name. In the midst of the church I will sing praises unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. So you see, Paul's talking about a family here. Now that the Apostle Paul has established that the relationship between the Father and the Son, and then sons, we now turn our attention to chapter 3. Chapter 3, to our partaking of the role that we have to play within the family. Every child in the family has a role to play. When I was growing up, my sisters had certain duties, the brothers had certain duties, and of those duties were split up amongst the brothers. You know, my sister Catherine, she washed the silver. My mom didn't want to trust it to Amy or to Beth. They were too little. All right? She had the silver. Somebody had to vacuum. Somebody had to do this, and they broke up the chores. In a family, you have roles to play. All right? And so we see in chapter 3, wherefore, my holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle of our high priest, our profession, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Then the apostle Paul speaks of the faithfulness of the Son to his Father in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. He says, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And then the apostle Paul makes comparisons between this son Jesus and other sons like Moses, etc. Then about halfway through this third chapter, the apostle Paul begins to show us how that we also are made partakers with Christ if we hold fast to the end. In verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Then in chapter 4 of Hebrews, we're told that this relationship between the Father and the Son was based upon the Father's word and the Son's obedience to that word. Now we get to chapter 5, where we are told that no man can enter into this role as a son without being ordained by God to it. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that saith unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee, said, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now I want you to stop here for just a moment to read what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He is telling us that no man can honor himself with this role as a son, but it is something that we are either ordained to or we are not. Now notice that Christ did not play out his role to honor himself, but he played out the role to honor who? The Father. As he saith also in another place, verse 6, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now the word after means in the same manner or expression. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now the focus is not on his suffering or the things which he suffered, but rather that he learned obedience. He learned his place as a son. He learned his role and to do his role. And being made perfect, complete, finished off, capped off, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now notice that Jesus was made perfect, which means that he was finished off or he was capped off. And notice that we are also given a promise that through obedience we shall be made perfect. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now let's read on about this doctrine of Christ, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, not babies, of full age, mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And here we come full circle to what the Apostle Paul is telling us in chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles, the beginning part, the first thoughts of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Or let's go on into perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, but leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now this word perfection comes from the Greek word that means a state of completeness mentally and morally. In other words, the very nature of a son in us finished off to perfection or to completion. Fully grown sons in the image of the Father. That is what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. Paul is telling us that we cannot just arrive at the doctrine of Christ, but must fully immerse ourselves into the doctrine of Christ, and in so doing, we will come to completion of our character, and we shall reach the stature of the manifested Son of God that we were meant to be. In other words, the very life of God that came from God entered into his Son. And through the understanding of that relationship between God and his Son, that life comes into us as well. In John 5 and 26 we read, "For as the Father hath life in him, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Now look at these promises that we have concerning the life of God that is in the Son coming into us and how it comes into manifestation as sons. In 1 John 5 and verse 12 he said, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." He that echoes the Son echoes life. You see, we recognize the role of our older brother Jesus. We recognize his obedience to God. We recognize that he could of himself do nothing, and so we echo that. And we say, "I can of myself do nothing. What I see my Father do, that I do also. What my Father says, that I teach, that I say. The doctrine that he gave me to teach, that's what I teach. Even to the point of my will, I have no will, but his will is in me." In John 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 20 verse 31, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." In John 6 and verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." In Matthew 11, verse 27, "All things are delivered unto me and my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And how did the Son of God reveal? Because we understood the role that the Son of God had. And watching the Son of God in action and another son, William Branham, in action in this hour, we recognize when we saw the Alpha, we saw the Omega, we saw that God was in Christ, God was in William Branham, we saw how God affected his son, God affected this other son, we saw how he was obedient, how he surrendered all, how through suffering, and we recognize then the role of the Father, and we recognize our own role in serving the Father. And finally, in John 5 and 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And we know that to hear means to understand. And therefore, to understand cracks open that seed and allows the life that was within that seed come into us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because we recognize that John said there's limits to the doctrine of Christ. We can't go beyond those limits. If we go beyond the limits, then we don't even have God. We can't echo God. And neither do we echo the Son. And yet we hear the Apostle Paul saying, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And if we're not careful, we think that he's saying leaving the doctrine of Christ, but he's not. He's saying leaving the principles, the very first start, the doorway, the who and what about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, as we enter into, fully immerse ourselves deeper into it, we now have perfection waiting. Perfection in our nature. Perfection in our character. Perfection in our morality. Perfection in our mentality. Completion, capping off as sons. Learning to just let go and to let God. As Brother Branham said, the greatest gift is to get ourselves out of the way. And Father, we pray for that great gift. That every individual in this building this morning, and those that couldn't be here, that they might come to that point of maturity, that capping off, that fulfillment as sons and daughters of God, which begins by the new birth, by your word coming in and coming alive within them. For we ask it in Jesus' name, thy beloved and obedient Son. Amen.